getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Get the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Let's go with Chris Snead and Jackson Frazier behind the glass taking care of us. Keep hitting us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, all of that welcomed there. Texas Tech men's basketball taking on the Jayhawks tonight to kick off the first conference home game of the year. And Chris, we're asked this question, how does Kansas and Tech match up? And this was from the perspective of a listener who has not seen the Jayhawks yet. And I can tell you this, they're long at the forward position. Feels like they have a point guard and four forwards on the court at all times. They don't have a dominant post. KJ Adams is undersized, but he can rebound. He's incredibly athletic.
What do they do real well?
They shoot the ball.
Yeah.
They shoot the ball, and man, when they get in transition, they are fast.
What do we not do real well?
Take care of the ball right now.
Yeah, and defend the three. What do they do real well? Shoot the three.
They shoot the three really well, and they've got a pretty good lineup of guys. It starts with their freshman, Grady Dick. Said that without laughing. Points for me. And the key to their whole roster is a point guard by the name of Dewan Harris.
Yeah.
And he helped get you a couple years ago here in Lubbock. He had a huge piece of why they won a championship last year. A big part of that comeback against North Carolina is a big part of their comeback on Saturday against Oklahoma State. He's one of, if not the best passer in the conference. He's a great perimeter defender, and when it looks to some of those young guards, it's going to be about taking care of the ball. It's going to be doing the little things that you didn't do in the last 10 minutes against TCU if you want to match up with them. Now, do I think that Kansas is unbeatable? No. If you play physical with them from positions 1 through 5, it's got to be 100%, and you've seen this. You saw this in the first half against TCU. Tech can absolutely do that. If you play physical with them, you can disrupt them. They do have the conference's leading scorer in Jalen Wilson coming in. He averages right at about 21 points a game. You can't back down, and you can't disappear. Yeah. You have to play. I know it's a staple, and you hear this all the time, but it's so true. You have to play all 40 minutes tonight, or it could get ugly.
Yeah, this is a game where if you could find yourself – you could find yourself down 10, 15 in a hurry if you get lackadaisical on defense, if you don't defend the perimeter. I mean, because like I said, this is the team that's going to – you're turning the ball over a ton. And this is the team that scores off transition real well. So I think this is it's a recipe for disaster tonight if you don't play a very sound game and take care of the ball.
It's funny because you're coming off a TCU game where you go, boy, you got to stop turning the ball over and you got to hit your free throws. It seems so simple, but it killed you.
Absolutely.
Of your 20-plus turnovers in crunch time, and this is another part too, down the stretch you have to play really, really well. Because in the final 10 of those turnovers came then. And that's why what was still a 9-point lead with about 10:36 left dissipated and disappeared fast.
Yeah. And I mean, it just seems like this team hasn't figured out how to get itself out of those ruts. I mean, when they get down in the bar ditch, they can't seem to get themselves out. The wheels just spin. And it's kind of scary to see that, because I don't think TCU is a team that's really all that talented except for one guy, you know, I mean, and guy and a half, Micah Peavy and Miles. But, you know, the rest of those guys, they ain't got in that roster that scares you, you know. But now you got a roster of a whole bunch of guys that scare you coming to town. And that roster in TCU, you know, where you were able to go on the road and get yourself up double digits a couple times, and they just chipped right away and came right back into the game with you. And now you – I just can't – I don't mean to be a negative Nancy or anything, but I just can't see my way to a win for Texas Tech tonight.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I I can, and it's going to be a lot of the same recipe that Oklahoma State did. And again, you talk about a team that played physical with them, and it starts, and I'm not just talking about the inside. I mean, on the perimeter, you can't just give them gimmies off of screens, because you're going to see a lot of off-the-ball screens tonight to set up those shooters. The problem, something else that kind of killed you against TCU, was allowing offensive rebounds, and that's where this Kansas team is lethal from outside. Because they know exactly where that other guy is after they get an offensive rebound. They kick it out. And, I mean, it feels like it's a knockdown every single time. And, you know, when's the best time to hit a three? Well, it's off of an offensive rebound. Yeah. And they do that almost perfectly. And so it's going to be, I mean, you're going to have a big game from Bacho tonight. You're going to have a big game from the guys that you need, like Harmon and O'Banner, your older guys, a couple of guys who have played in the Big 12, specifically conference games, and know what it takes to win. And then, I mean, again, this is all you have to do, Snead. And then the young guys, you can't play young tonight. Now, Pop Isaacs had a terrific game for the most part against TCU. You're going to need some more knockdown shots like that from him as well tonight.
Yeah, Pop Isaacs, man, every day I see that kid play, I like him a little bit more, because he walked in here on day one and didn't feel like a guy who was like, oh, I'm a freshman, I don't know, I'm biting his nails. Yeah. I don't know if I should do this. This guy's like, hey, I'm going to jack up it up, not 9 threes here. And, you know, and yeah, I'm going to go 3 for 9, but yeah, I'm going to knock down 3. But I love his confidence. I love his game. I love everything that so far. I mean, he, to me, hasn't had that freshman moment yet, which is good and bad, you know, because, you know, at some point that freshman moment's going to come. But, you know, to this point, he's played now 10, 11 games, 12, 13 games, and hadn't seemed to be intimidated by the moment. Now, granted, there hadn't been a whole lot of moments. You know, hey,
right,
4 games in, you're going to the Maui Classic, and you're playing, you know, against a top 10 team, at least they were then. And now, you know, the guys running out of the other tunnel or KU. And he didn't seem to be intimidated. You know, some guys, we've got some guys on the roster that have come in here and been freshmen, and they're shriveled up. Like, oh my God, that's Creighton. Okay, you know. Oh my God, that's Ohio State. Now, he didn't seem to care at all.
And that's it's especially with how the Big 12 is now. I mean, you've seen the net rankings, the highest average net ranking by a lot from a conference standpoint. The Big 12 is tough, and a lot of times too, you have freshmen that come in. They're playing really well against the Eastern Washingtons, against the Nichols. And then you get to some of those bigger guards in Big 12 play, and it's like you hit – it's not a freshman wall. You hit a conference wall.
Yeah.
And I don't think you'll see that. You certainly didn't see that in TCU against Pop Isaacs, but I agree. I mean, love a guy that comes in with a chip on his shoulder and plays that way for whatever reason that is. And you saw some turnover issues early.
Yeah.
But you're going to see that from freshmen.
Fix that, yeah.
And that's been – that has not been an issue – at least for me, with his game.
We got other guys that are veterans, D1 veterans, that are having a lot of turnover issues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where and that's the killer, too. It's not just key turnovers. It's key guys making silly turnovers and being a part of that and giving up freebies. When you go to that TCU game, the other part of that, too, is I think you were playing the best individual player in the conference when Mike Miles turns it on like he did. It's hard, and I thought you defended him one-on-one at times really well, and he just made tough shots. But that's where you have to have a guy or a team that answers instead of answering with turnovers and then giving them the ball right back in transition. I mean, that was just, boy, a snowball of tough back 10 minutes. All right, Jackson, hit us up with your play of the day. Are we having hotkey issues still? That's too bad. Boy, the hotkey said new year, new me. And they did what a lot of people do. I'm going to hit the gym.
Yeah.
I'm going to start eating right day 3. And they're like,
I used to hate this time of year. You know, when you get out there and all the New Year's resolutioners were there. And they're out there in their brand new Nikes and their brand new workout uniforms and stuff like that. And about, you know, you'd see him there for that, you know, first 3 days, you'd see him there. And then they'd be gone. And they'd come back for that one little, and like 10 days later, they were gone. And we're back to normal again. Just back to those people who are actually working out.
We'll see if we can get some work done. You got any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, don't suck.
Don't suck.
No, actually, I don't know.
Were you a big resolution guy in general?
I am doing a dry January.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm actually going to do it. My goal is to do a dry until XFL. Mm-hmm. I need to.
Yeah. Jackson, you got any resolutions?
I haven't really sat down and thought of one, honestly, these past few days, but probably just doing, I made a big jump in the gym and probably just making another. Ooh. Than I did from last year.
Yeah, Jackson has been getting swole all year.
Swole on, maybe.
Getting ripped.
At a kid.
I'm going to be like running in slow motion, Baywatch style.
That's the goal.
Mm. That's the goal. You've got the bottom line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Hey, if you want to let us know what your resolutions are,
there's something you guys want to chat line.
Yeah. We'll see if we can get past some technical difficulties. Dang it. What's up, 2023? What are we doing? Come on. Back with more next on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Oh, man, that music means it's time for Take versus Take. We've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Jamie Lint and Jackson Frazier. Old Big Ears has the question for us today. Jamie and I are your gladiators. Jamie.
I thought he got him shrunk for Christmas.
Removed? Redacted? No, shrunk. How was the ear shrinking process?
It was pretty easy.
Was it like a chemical or like a nip and tuck situation?
They just put me to sleep and I woke up with normal people ears. Didn't really ask much.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice and easy.
Normal people ears. That's good. I'm glad you're happy.
What?
Oh, right. You can't hear. Sorry. Yeah. That's well done. Jamie, how competitive are you feeling in the year of 2023?
Not really.
Good. Yeah. Chance for one of us to start off the year undefeated. You always want to get the first one. That's what they say. You don't want to get the rest of them. You just want to get the first one. All right, Jackson, take it away.
All right, Clint, we'll start with you.
Mm-mm.
What was your favorite present this year? I guess last year from Christmas.
My favorite present from last year, this year's Christmas. My grandma is so sweet. Helga, the reason old Clint got started around here. God bless her still to all the nieces and nephews around here. She still sends us just like a little bit of cash and a card. I mean, I'm 30 years old and still getting this, but it still means a ton. And she's had eye surgery. Her vision is not great. So the only thing she writes is her signature. So it's still special to see that, the love grandma and stuff like that. It's, she's still making the nieces and nephews happy. Grandkids, not nieces and nephews.
I mean, clear.
All of us cousins is what I was trying to say.
Clint just drops a tearjerker on us there. How am I supposed to compete with that?
You're not. That's why you're going down, Jamie. Pull for the heartstrings for the win.
My favorite gift of the year?
Yeah, beat that. It was sweet until I got competitive with it, right?
I mean, I got some new Under Armour clothes.
Cool. I'm sure those memories will last forever.
You have a grandmother named Helga?
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Straight out of Germany.
That's awesome. I think he should win the point just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it to Clint.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Shout out, Grandma.
All right. I think I might have asked this question before, but I'm not totally sure. If you had to go cover a sport that you literally know nothing about, you can't even say a single rule of it, which one would you want to cover?
I'm gonna go national surfing championships. I mean, the weather would be spectacular. I mean, the views would be spectacular, you know? So, and it looks pretty cool. I just have no idea how they score anything. Yeah, I want to go cover surfing championships.
I'm going to go with cricket because I feel like there's going to be a ton of people who actually tune into the broadcast. And to see the outrage of the guy, like, and that's a sticky wicket right there. That's a good paddle he's got right there. Ah, and the three stick things, one of them went over. That can't be good. Or can it? I don't know. Oh, how many rings do they have out there? 20? What are they worth?
These are the same things that Clint said when he said he knew the rules to tennis.
Yes.
These are all the same things.
No, but mine were real. Mine were real.
Mm.
Yeah, I would have, like, I would be doing the thing, like, if I was the play-by-play guy, every once in a while, I would go, like, to the color guy, like, okay, now what just happened? Did he score? Who's winning? This is 100 points? Is that a lot or is it a little? It seems like a lot. Basketball, this is a ton, man.
As fun as that would be, I think I have to go with Jamie. That's two. Can't beat that.
You know, I reffed Quidditch one time at LCU. Which
you reffed it?
It's not called Quidditch now. I really didn't do anything. Talk about ultimate confusion. Dude, it was a trip, man.
What do you do? What's the purpose?
I still don't know. It was like they didn't have it as an intramural season. They had it as like a tournament.
You ride a broom like a horse.
They ran with PVC pipe in between their legs. And you could tell the team that was really, really into Harry Potter because they were mad. I guess like the goals are supposed to be round. But the only way we could get these taped goals were in a square formation of PVC. And they're like, I'm real Quidditch. These things are round. I'm like, boy, if I have a bad call, you're going to be so mad with me because I have no idea what I'm doing. Chase the one dude. Like we had a dude running around with like a sock and a tennis ball. I was weird, dude. Talk to us who were like intramural refs for like 10 minutes. Like, we're just going to have to get through this, man. Okay. I didn't learn anything.
Okay.
All right. Jamie might have the upper hand in this one. Because it's... You're going to have to put on your parent goggles for this question. Let's say your kid is 5-star, top of the line recruit. Mm-hmm. What would be your process with it? You've seen a lot on Twitter about you wouldn't want your kids going to this coach or that coach. So, like, what would you look for as a parent? If you're even going to, like, have a say, you might just let them do it all themselves.
I'm going to have them sign a contract early on so where I have all the say. This is specifically talking about Kronk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course.
His future in dog ball. He's a great center, man. Got a lot of size. Great paw speed.
Paw speed? Well,
a lot of bite. I feel like I would be a very interactive parent with wanting what's best for them, but letting them make the decision that they want. And I don't think I would try to sway very hard, but it would be more of my wife's parental raising. Because if it was just my parental raising, they'd be in a psych ward or something, that they would know, you know, what the best place would be for them. And then you talk about coaches that you want your kids to go play for. And like Texas Tech, I think you have one right here. Old Jamie Sark, I don't know how many kids seeing that. You want coach under that outburst, real leader of men over there. I would hope that they would pick a situation where it would be good for them as a player, but also good for them as a person. And it wouldn't all just be about, you know, who can get me the best NIL deal, which I know is tough with what you're dealing with right now. If I put him to sleep, he can't compete, and I win by default. All right, real dad, take it away. Dog dad doesn't know.
I think if we're talking a 5-star football recruit, I think the first and the thing that I'm looking at the most, because I don't feel like in that situation, you're super worried about, I want a guy that's going to help raise my kid to be this way, or I want a guy that's, you know, going to teach my kid right from wrong. I think if you got a 5-star football recruit, you're looking at what's the coach that's going to give my kid the best chance to be drafted high and sign a big contract and all the above. you know, if I'm in that situation, I'm not worried about location because my kid's going to be a NFL player. I'm probably going to be fine flying to wherever he's playing anyway. So I don't worry about that too much. So I think you're just worried about, like, just like if you have a regular student, you're thinking, okay, which school is going to help them get the job that they want?
Mm-hmm.
I think in this situation, if you're a five-star recruit, you're talking about which school is going to help him get to the next level, okay, and set him up to do that.
All I heard was Jamie Lint, Bill Self fan. Yeah, how does that make you feel over there?
I'm going to have to give Jamie the point.
Oh, okay.
Mostly because I agree and I lost track of what Clint was saying like halfway through.
Clint lost track of what Clint was saying halfway through. I don't know. I'm not a dad. Kronk's not a D1 athlete. I like to think so. I'm totally the crowd parent.
But I think it's totally different if you're talking about, you know, if your kid's not, if he's a fringe recruit or something like that, you're not thinking, okay, what's going to get him to the next level? You're thinking about, okay, who's a, you know, positive influence, who's going to help him get to the point where he, you know, where can he go where he can get it, you know, a really good degree to get that job and all of those things. I think those it's different depending on what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but I think I don't like having this argument because, again, I'm not a parent, so I wouldn't know. But like
I also don't have a five-star recruit living at my house, so it's not like I can
trash talk, get better. Not five stars yet.
Not what
I meant. Your star count at, kid? No supper until you're a five star. But I'd like to think that there would be a happy medium, right? Because if you're a five star and you have a good chance of getting to the league, there's a lot of scumbag coaches. There's a lot of good coaches. There's a lot of gray line coaches. You would like to think that there's a perfect situation.
I can tell you for my kid, it was about the university that could help her and the coach that would be a positive influence on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let us know what you think on the East Flooring Center chat line. You've got the bottom line, 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com going all the way up to 3 o'clock today. Clint Scott with Jamie Lint and Jackson Frazier. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, answers for the take versus take questions. I'm 0-1 this year. Rough year so far. Congratulations to Jamie.
Sorry.
And his future five star.
Okay.
Jackson, how would you handle it?
You do remember my kids have my genes, right? So.
Yeah, but it's split 50-50.
Okay. So I just don't know.
What brand of jeans did you give them? Like Wranglers, Levi?
Wranglers.
Old Navy?
I never wore anything but Levi's once I was old enough to have an opinion.
Mm.
I think the Wranglers is probably, isn't that more of a Southern thing? It feels like that's more of a...
Why did you say that with an accent when you said Southern?
Southern, did I? I didn't mean to. Seems like Wranglers are more go with boots than like Levi's.
Oh, yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is that
those are what I always thought, like, for Kansas, like, our ranch jeans.
Okay.
Wranglers.
Yeah, I was more of a Levi's guy, but I haven't put on a pair of jeans in, I don't know, like 3 years.
2023 resolution, wear more denim.
Nah,
it didn't have to be jeans, just denim in general. You want to rock a denim jacket? I say go for it.
Okay, Billy Madison.
Sorry, Jackson, with your five-star kid.
I mean, yeah, if he was a five-star, it would definitely mostly just be what gives me the best chance of getting him in and getting him out into the league.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was smaller, more consideration into the coach himself.
And the education and all that kind of stuff. But they were a five-star football player. I mean, all you're thinking about is, okay, what's going to get him to the league?
Mm-hmm.
You're not that worried about, okay, well, I kind of want him to double major and...
Right.
Business.
Yeah, you're not worried about the education side at all. No. I think the coach plays a part in that still, but the education, they're not going there for school.
Right. Not here to play school.
Not here to play school. Jackson, what was the best gift that you got?
I got surprise tickets to the Eagles-Cowboys game. Yeah. So the ending wasn't the best, but it was a good time. It was a good day.
Merry Christmas to you.
It was nice because I was around all Eagles fans, actually. So I didn't get really like, I didn't feel it like I would have probably in other parts
of the
stadium.
Show up half Cowboy, half Eagle, and they pushed you to the Eagles side?
I was all Eagles this side.
Did you meet the daughter's boyfriend? He was there. Where, he had a Jalen Hurts jersey on. Did you meet him? I'm sure you could have picked him up.
Yeah, we were in the same section. Yeah.
Sat right next to me.
It'd be hilarious. Okay, so next time, you know, you talk to the boyfriend about the game, and he's like, yeah, it's awesome. Sat with these Eagles fans. There was this guy, though. He kept on talking about this ear surgery he was going to have. I mean, the lobes just draped all the way down the steps. They had to sit him on the outside. It's crazy. It's
crazy.
We kept on doing the cup snake thing with him. We were waving it.
What's crazy is that the Cowboys, I mean, they've kind of snaked their way in here, and they've got a chance at the number one seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cowboys taking on the Commanders on the road on Sunday. They'll start at 2:30 on Double T 97.3. 3:25 kickoff, same kickoff time for those Eaglets as they take on the Giants. I asked Jackson if he was feeling any stress with it now, and calm, cool, collected J6 said no.
Are the Giants out if they lose?
No, they've secured.
They're definitely in.
They've secured a spot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just not worried. As long as Jalen Hurts is playing, I'm not worried. I'll be a little bit more nervous if Gardner's the quarterback. But if Jalen's in, I won't be too nervous about getting a win. That's all we need is just to win and we're in. Mm. At least the number one seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, you got a question for us?
Sure.
The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
All right, we're talking Red Raider hoops this afternoon. My question today is, which Red Raider has been a surprise to you in a positive way, and which one has been in somewhat of a negative way a surprise? Basically, which one did you expect more from?
I'm going to start with a positive of being Pop Isaacs. Sneed and I talked a little bit earlier about his attitude coming in as a freshman and kind of the chip on a shoulder type of play that he has, and that hasn't dissipated. But he's been, I mean, your most kind of firecracker type scorer and can score a lot in a little time and has hit some big threes for you this year and has continued to do so. He's your moving forward for me. And I know that this is crazy because you have a senior in Kevin O'Banner, but for me right now, if you need a three, it's late in the game, I'm going to Pop Isaacs. And, I mean, he just has no fear as a freshman and has come in and made an immediate impact. And I thought he would be a really good player for you, but I didn't know if you'd see as much as you have seen from him this early in the season. And you're going to continue – you're going to need it in Big 12 play with how much – he's leaned on through the offense and at the guard spot as you face these bigger, better Big 12 guards. Disappointment is still Curran Walton. Mm-hmm. Got some more minutes, hits a three against TCU, but still you were hoping he would just be that kind of, well, for me, all-around player, but the legit corner sniper that you lose track of him. Well, there's 3 points on the board, and you haven't got that from him at all, whether it's defense or whatever the issue is that he can't find his way onto the floor consistently, and there's still time to do so, and I still think he's a good shooter, but as of right now, where I thought you would see him against worse competition before you got to Big 12 play, it's almost been non-existent.
Okay, two good answers.
I think, I don't know if surprise is the best word. It's because Pop Isaacs, I think, is the first choice, obviously, when I'm thinking about it. But I really like what KJ Allen's doing. I think he could still do a little bit, but I really like the role that he's fit into right now. And I think he's doing really well at it. I think there's still maybe a little bit room to bump some of those numbers up. But I think he started to get in this role at a really good time for the team. And he started to produce and really show that motor in a time when it was needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then for disappointment, it's really hard to pick anyone else but Curwin Walton, just because of kind of the expectations he had coming into the season, that you were hoping he was at least like the sixth man that was going to come in and just be knocking shots and 3-and-D type guy, and that's just almost been the exact opposite of what he has been.
Okay, so I like you guys' answer, but for the surprise to me, and I know a lot of people were high on him coming into the season, but I just I mean, compared to what we saw in the past to this year, is Daniel Bacho. I mean, didn't he score like 2 points a game last year?
Yeah, it was something in real low.
Yeah, I mean, and he's at 12.3 right now, despite the fact that he put up one shot on Saturday. I mean, Bacho, I expected him to be improved, but I mean, he looks like a guy that could play at the next level all of a sudden and have a lot of success. So, man, I mean, again, I thought, okay, sure, he's going to bump up to 6 or 7 points a game, but to add 10, yeah. 2 to 12, I mean, that's huge. So I would say he's the biggest surprise for me, and I still think he's got, you know, more room to grow talent-wise. I'm not saying he's getting taller, but, I mean, I think there's still more
we to do his game. Want him. We both do want him to be a true seven-footer.
He looks comfortable shooting from the outside, so I think he has the ability to continue to kind of round his game all around and can get better. I guess my disappointment is, even though early on in the season I said, oh, he's got to work his way in, take some time, it's Elijah Fisher, because he's really not a factor at all now. I mean, this was a five-star recruit, and I know he's only supposed to be a high school senior this year. It looks like that's showing at this point. But, I mean, again, five-star, you expected him to make some sort of impact, and he's just a forgotten guy right now.
And I wonder, and this question goes for him and for Kerwin Walton, because they're disappointments right now as for our answers for kind of the same reason. And Kerwin Walton is an interesting one because, I mean, he really wasn't playing that much
at North Carolina
last year for North Carolina. It was more of what you saw out of his freshman season. It was, okay, well, is this Hubert Davis's offense? Like, what is different here? That it wasn't there when they were really excited about him as a freshman. And you're coming into the same sort of wall over here. And so it's funny because I didn't expect it, but when you look back, maybe we should have.
Maybe.
With Elijah Fisher, it's the same thing that you said. Well, he's still supposed to be a senior in high school. He's still a freshman. Not all five stars are ready to go out of the gate, but you still have that five-star moniker beside it. And
I mean, even in, you know, preseason camp, we were hearing about he was your best defender.
Yeah. Surprising how physical he was.
Yeah. I'm not giving up on the kid by any stretch of the imagination. I just expected him to be playing, you know, some sort of key minutes, and he's not doing that.
It's just very evident that he's very, very raw.
Sure.
But, I mean, you look at a Daniel Bacho, and speaking of raw, because with what you're saying, I mean, I completely agree. All we heard was how much better he was this year, but I certainly didn't expect to be to the extent that it is, and it's all around. I mean, and with room to grow, still like to see more of a developed back to the basket game and a true post-up type of feel, but I mean, he's all over the floor for you. Let us know what you think on the It's Florence Center chat line. Give us your biggest pluses and minuses for players this year on the season.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hour number three of the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. It is a Viking little crouton J6 Mafia edition. Rolling with you for one more hour. Live from the First United Bank studio, you can call us on the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that, welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app, brought to you by Happy State Bank. At 3 o'clock, if you want to continue your live and local coverage, switch it over to Double T97.3 for Tech Talk. At 7 o'clock over there on Double T97.3, Texas Tech hosting Kansas tonight. Tip-off at 8 for the first conference home game of the year. Right here on 100.7 The Score. A boy-girl doubleheader. Girls starting at 6 for Lubbock Cooper, taking on Coronado. 7:30, the boys will follow.
Clint, you and I have not talked at all about the situation in Cincinnati last night with the Bills and Bengals and DeMar Hamlin, which obviously... such an incredibly sad story. There's no news today on his status, his situation as far as his health is concerned. So Mm-hmm. Last we knew, we all heard, of course, he had cardiac arrest in critical condition, and no statement has been made beyond that for his health. Clearly, sad deal. Mm-hmm. Just as sports fans, you know, just kind of hit you right there in the face that it's not about sports and all that good stuff. And obviously, thoughts and prayers go out to his family and to him, and hopefully, you know, he has a recovery here, a miraculous recovery, and, you know, everything's great. But for right now, it's, you know, football's kind of on the back burner for the NFL. It's kind of a sad day, and I thought it was cool that you saw a lot of teams around the league today that were supposed to have media availabilities pass on them just because they felt like, you know, wasn't right for them to be talking about their upcoming game or breaking down those kind of things mm-hmm. when – the situation is what it is in Cincinnati. But I did want to mention the league has said that the Bills and Bengals will not play this week, which yeah. I think that was a no-brainer. I don't know how you could ask teams to play tomorrow, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday, and then again on Sunday. It just mm-hmm. can't happen. And, you know, the NFL did say that they're still considering plans to play at a later date. I don't know how they would do that unless they backed up the whole entire playoffs and let just Buffalo and Cincinnati have their week.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You know? Like, and then everybody who's in the playoffs gets a bye week. Everybody whose season's over, your season's over.
Mm-hmm.
But you just sit back for a week and wait for the Bills and Bengals to play on next Saturday or something. And,
well, and
I just don't think that's going to happen.
It's such a weird, horribly unique situation
horribly
because unique. Of why. But when you look at the actual game side of it, when they come back around to whatever that decision is, I mean, that's a huge part of piecing together who has the bye in the AFC.
Yeah, and I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, as you guys know. I'm here to tell you I'm fine with accepting the fact that Buffalo doesn't get a loss or a win last night.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't get it, and ultimately they lose the first seed to the Chiefs because mm-hmm. of it. I even question whether that Bills team of course everything would change if we find out over the next few days he's doing well. He's mm-hmm. making a recovery. He's on the road to recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would change. I don't know. It's just teams have had teammates die during the regular season and they go on and play, keep playing. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's life. That's what you have to do. But I mean, if the worst case scenario happens here over the next week or week and a half, I just don't know what you're going to get out of the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that as a whiny Bills fan or whatever. Again, this is life. Unfortunately, that includes sometimes death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I just don't think you're going to see the Bills fight that and say, no, the Chiefs shouldn't get the number one seed. We should get an opportunity to claim that. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't think you'll see that. And I think, again, as a Bills fan, I accept you didn't play the game. You can't get credit for a win. You don't necessarily deserve a loss either. So it just goes down as a no contest. And because of that, the Chiefs have the better record.
I do wonder, though, from the just to play devil's advocate, because I agree.
Sure.
I think that's how it should be. But from the other side of that, if the NFL came in and said, hey, this is a situation where it was obviously on the field in a game, however many minutes of it had been played, we're going to bump back the playoffs by a week, and you are going to have your lone Bills-Bengals week, and they're just going to finish that game. I mean, how do you argue that from the other side, right? Without just seeming and sounding like a total jerk.
Yeah.
No, and insensitive. And mm-hmm. I don't know what the NFL will ultimately decide, but if they did that and you're arguing that, like, how do you argue against that?
Well, and if you really got into it, of course, you have the stupid bye week in between AFC NFC championship game in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do away with that, right? Mm-hmm. Super Bowl wouldn't have to move. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if the season is set ahead of time and all the dates with where they're playing is already set.
Right.
Right. Because we don't know that until after mm-hmm. Sunday.
Yeah. You don't even know what, like half of who's officially in yet?
Right. Right. And so that makes it like it's not like, as if things have been set in stone and, you know, Packers fans have had their tickets for 7 o'clock Sunday night for mm-hmm. 8 months now, and you can't move it back a week. That's not fair. They don't even know. I mean, teams don't know if they're in. Teams don't know where they're going, where they're playing. They're playing at home. They're playing on the road. I mean, you just don't know.
Right.
And so you're right. You make a good point that it is possible to do that. You got to factor in money here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would the NFL lose a ton of money by doing that? I don't think they would.
Again, with what you said, take the NFC, right? You don't even know who the one seed is right now. So it's hard to just be locking up on Eagles or Cowboys tickets because it's still up for grabs, right? All the stuff that isn't clinched and unknown, I'm sure there would be some sort of money loss, and there's probably numbers that could be thrown right in my face that I'm just not aware of. It doesn't seem like the money side would be that big of an issue
sure.
if they even decided to approach it that way. And the week with the bye week that they'd be missing, I mean, who's caping up for, oh, that's the new Pro Bowl? No. I mean, you're not fighting for that week.
No.
So I would rather them go with the option that you're going with. But again, if the NFL decides to do that and they say, yeah, it's going to be Bills Bengals week, I just don't see how any organization can look them straight in the face and be like, have an anti that decision.
Well, and going with the texter here on the 8th floor and center chat line that says, I think it would be easier to give up the seeding and move on and play a new team than to deal with the emotions of trying to play that same team again, no matter what. Think about how eerie, let's say they put it that if they did back things up mm-hmm. and the Bills Bengals had their week that next Saturday night, what the atmosphere would be like.
It would be heavy. So heavy.
It would be so weird.
Yeah. And that's good. I mean, you could tell again, and you would hope like, that this would be the reaction. You could tell how shaken the Bills were from that, watching a teammate, you know, yeah. go through that. You've got the bottom line of 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, time to play No Diggity. The 2023 sales already off the chart for the Diggitometer. Just busted out the new model for Jamie. How is it? Calibrated for you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Hmm. Mm. It's not what our focus group said, so whatever. Mm. Glenn Scott with Jamie Lynn and Jackson Fraser.
I'm just going to say this. If I had gotten the gift receipt with it, I probably would have returned it. It's
actually why I didn't send. I purposefully send bad gifts to people without the receipt, so they have to have them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I do the even worse thing where like 2 weeks later, just to make sure they didn't donate it, I ask it like, oh, how's that Diggitometer treating you, Jamie?
Mm.
Using it every day? Haven't seen you use it yet.
Nope.
Haven't seen you wear that horrible sweater I got you. What's up with that? It's interesting.
Well, I don't like Kansas, so.
I gave you an Under Armour Diggitometer. You can hit us up on the 8th Morning Center chat line. Your thoughts, comments, reactions, all of that welcomed there. I want to stay with the NFL for No Diggity. We'll go from the AFC, and plenty of thoughts and comments already rolled in about the Bills situation that we will get to. I want to go to the NFC, and we kind of just scratched the surface of getting into it, but talked about the big weekend for the NFC East. That is this weekend, the Cowboys taking on the Commanders, the Eagles taking on the Giants. Will Jalen Hurts play? Who knows? If the Eagles lose and the Cowboys win,
100% No Diggity. I think he's going to play. Was that the question?
Oh, no, but We can, I mean, you can use it as much as you like, you know?
I can, okay.
Yeah. I mean, if that's how you answer questions in all of your real life situations, I say go for it.
Okay.
Would you like ketchup with that, Mr. Lint? 100% no diggity. Digitometer says...
Yes.
Yes.
It's a good chance.
So you think Jalen Hurts plays. I do too. Jackson, you think... Oh.
Yeah, I really think that... Back. I really think he could have played this week too. Mm-hmm. I think they were just trying to secure it without playing him so he wouldn't have to play this week as well. And then that didn't happen.
I think it was a little iffier than that because I think you didn't want to be in the situation that you are now. Again, I think the – or we'll get into this here. So, again, the Eagles have to lose. Cowboys have to win. The Cowboys lose it all on the road to the Commanders who are fighting – for a playoff spot as well, then it doesn't matter. If you win, the Eagles lose, you get the division, you get the top overall seed, you get a bye. Heading into the entire recipe and what you've seen from both teams and us thinking that Jalen Hurts will play, the Eagles secure the top spot this weekend.
75%.
75%.
No diggity.
95%. No diggity.
I'm surprised you didn't say 100. You can say 100.
Can't be 100% in sports. But you can be 95%.
That's what they say. 95 is the new 100, right? Yeah. Yeah. You always see weird stories when it comes to this last week in the NFL, right?
Sure.
That's how... Who was it? Who was it that's a big fan of like Andy Dalton forever? Was it the Bills? Like him beating the Ravens or something helped the Bills. It was one of those situations.
The Bills Mafia kept donating to his charity.
Yes. And then actually today it shows that Andy Dalton donated like $3,000 to Hamlin's GoFundMe. Someone like found it in the like receipts, I guess, of recent donors.
Yeah, he has DeMar Hamlin has a Toys for Kids kind of program and he was hoping for $250,000 and he's currently at around $4 million after last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said most of the donations were fives and twenties and fifties.
There's not quite a wave like the wave that comes with compassionate sports fans.
Yeah.
Like that. But back to the point at hand, like there's weird things that happen all the time and who's to say, even if Hurts comes back, he doesn't look a little rusty off of 3 weeks. And the Giants have played well. They've looked good at times. I don't feel great about it. I'm going to put it...
They didn't look good the last time they played the Eagles.
Well, that's fair. Maybe you split them. You split them. That makes me feel even better with what I'm about to say. Give me 45% no diggity. So I think that the Cowboys are going to come out with the top overall seed. I think the Eagles dropped this game.
Well, the 49ers have to lose two for the Cowboys to get one.
Oh, that's right.
If the Eagles lose and the Cowboys win, they get two. And if the Packers win, the Cowboys will play the Packers in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, staying with it. I think the Cowboys come out with the top overall seed. There you go.
Not me.
Write it down. Watch the Eagles just destroy the Giants now. I do. I think that this is a perfect storm for something to happen and us to be just have our minds blown when we come back next Monday. We're doing our review, and this is the crazy, crazy story. We get this on the chat line from Josh. How does anyone feel about the Vikings?
Not good.
Not good.
We finally saw Kirk Cousins be Kirk Cousins last week, I feel like.
Been waiting for it. I don't think that Kirk Cousins... Now, can he win a game in the playoffs with this Vikings team? Sure. That's not a Super Bowl team. I don't think Kirk Cousins is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback unless he just has an incredible, incredible cast.
And their defense
and the Vikings
isn't
just
great.
Have a good cast.
Yeah.
Purdy will take them to the Super Bowl for the 49ers.
I wouldn't be shocked to see the Niners get there.
Yeah. You know who you haven't heard from in a while? Which, I mean, why would you? But whenever when Garoppolo first goes out and there was a question, how is Purdy going to look? And then you saw for like 2 weeks, oh, the new news is Garoppolo could come back if the 49ers get into the NFC Championship game, which I don't know what that timeline is now, but if that still were the case and you were in that situation, why would you bring him back in? I mean, you were riding Purdy to an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, we're going to have a couple games before that to really see what Purdy does in the playoffs. So
fair.
I think I'll reserve the right to wait on my decision until we see how he looks in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But as of right now, I mean, if it was this week, man, I wouldn't make the change. Mm-mm. Yeah. You know who we haven't heard of even less is Trey Lance.
Yeah.
What's going on with that dude right now?
I wonder how much he is sweating or if there's someone in his ear from the 49ers like, yeah, don't worry, Trey. You're still our guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. Doesn't matter that you didn't look great before you broke your foot either.
49er coaches, I can hear him now in the offseason. Hey, we plan to use all three of these guys. Oh. We've got special plays made up. Oh. All three of them are going to play in every game.
I want to throw up so bad. I hate it. We get a dang right on there. Josh said, I think he had to have another surgery. We have a prediction. 49ers win, Eagles lose. 49ers will be the number one seed. Would you handle that better?
Probably. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I would still... It's still really hard for me to see Jalen Hurts. If it's Jalen Hurts, them losing. Mm-hmm. Knowing how bad it's been 3 weeks in a row and they need to win one.
And I don't think this is like an anti-Jalen Hurts. Don't believe that Jalen Hurts can, you know, do whatever with the Eagles. I think he can, but it's just never good to see this sort of reverse momentum at the end of a season, regardless of what you've had up to this point.
That's fair. But, I mean, obviously it coincides with him being hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
So sure. him coming back and then finishing last game with a win, I feel like they're right back to where they were.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if they do win this week from the NFC, they're my Super Bowl pick.
Mm-hmm.
This from Mandolin Mac. It kind of feels like regardless of seeding, the Bills are about to be hell-bent to get Hamlin a ring and have the entire nation cheering them on.
I just don't know which way it could go because I think he brings up a good point, but it could go either way, right? You could see a Bills team that's just devastated and kind of moping their way through practice all week and be hard to focus. I mean, I think that would be the farther you get removed from the situation last night, maybe it would get better. But I think you could see a Bills team that was down and unfocused and all that. Or, like he's suggesting, you could see a team that's uber motivated to win one for the Gipper, so to speak, and that they play maybe some of their best football. I have no idea.
Get the bottom line at 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.